turn with me, if you would, this morning, as the Lord will enable us, to that portion of God's Word that we have read together in Psalm 118. Psalm 118, and we wish to take as our text verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day God made. It's a wonderful picture that you have of the children of Israel making their way up to Jerusalem and the great days of the feasts. They would make their way up at the Passover. And as they made their way up, they would sing. And they would sing praises to God. We make our way towards the Mount of Ordinance, the Lord's Supper tomorrow. And in many respects, we are emulating the journey that these Israelites made as they made their way to the Passover. We are able to say that Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. A wonderful picture that you have as they made their way to Jerusalem. And there were particular psalms that engaged them as they made their way. There are actually two Hallel, Hallelujah, groups of psalms in the scriptures, in the book of Psalms. There is the great Hallel that starts from Psalm 118 and goes to Psalm 136, the great Hallel. Psalm 136, if you remember, His mercy endureth forever. That great psalm that speaks of His mercy and His grace. His mercy endureth forever. But the Egyptian Hallel consisted of six psalms. Psalm 113 through to the psalm which we are thinking on this morning, Psalm 118. That was called the Egyptian Hallel because it took them back to, and it reminded them of God's great deliverance. But when you come to look at it, you discover that it's not just remembering how God has delivered, but it's also looking forward, how He will deliver. How the Messiah will come, and He will deliver His people with the great Hallelujah, the great Hallel, when Messiah would come. Very often people say that the book of Psalms contain all the truths, really, of the Scripture, going from creation right through providence, salvation. The book of Psalms has them all. That's why it's wonderful that we sing the Psalms, because all the doctrines that you find in all the other portions of Scripture, both in the Old and the New Testament, they're found there in the book of Psalms. But when you come to the Egyptian Hallel from Psalm 113 to 118, I think that you find within that most certainly everything that you find in salvation is to be found in these six psalms. Psalm 113, the very first psalm, is speaking about how the whole world is to praise God. From the rising of the sun to where it sets, let all the nations praise the Lord. What a wonderful psalm that the Hallel begins with. A call to worship. You know, when you come to church on the Lord's Day tomorrow, if we are spared to see the Lord's Supper, there is a call. When the Lord's people gather together there, there is a call to all the nations to come and to worship Him in Jesus Christ. There is a call to those who are strangers to His grace to come and join God's people in worshiping God. Not just those who sit at the table, but the command to all men to come and to worship God. And Psalm 113, as the Jew made his way to Jerusalem, he began by saying, "From the rising of the sun to where it sets, let men and nations praise our God." Psalm 114 moves on from all the nations to what God has done for them as a nation. How God brought them out of Egypt with a mighty hand. How Israel out of Egypt came and how God delivered them. And how the house of Jacob was brought with a mighty hand out from among a people that had a strange tongue, a strange language. He delivered them out of Egypt. Wonderful when you think on these Jews making their way to Jerusalem. And as they headed towards Jerusalem, and as they gathered on the way, and as they made their way, and once they arrived in Jerusalem, they would be singing about how God delivered his people out of Egypt. And my friend, once again, as we make our way to the Lord's table, and as we gather together, surely we are reminded of how God has delivered his people with a mighty hand out of the flesh pots of Egypt. Psalm 115 goes on to speak about, "Not unto us, Lord, but unto thy name take the glory." Israel, as they made their way to Jerusalem, weren't taking the glory to themselves. They were to give glory to God. "Not unto us, Lord, not unto us, but to thy name be the glory." And my friend, surely as we gather here over these few days, is that not what we have reason to say as well? Lord, don't give us the glory. Let us not rob thee of thy glory, but Lord, to thy name be all the glory. Wonderful, there in the midst of these six psalms, there is a psalm that speaks that God alone is to receive the glory. Psalm 116, if we see in Psalm 113 all the nations to bless him. Psalm 114, how God has blessed Israel. Psalm 115, how God is to receive all the praise and glory. Psalm 116 tells us that this salvation is not just for the nation, it's personal. "I love the Lord because my voice and prayers he did hear. I, while I live, will call on him who bowed to me his ear." My friend, when we come tomorrow to the Lord's table, we come together as a congregation. You come together as a congregation, but the Lord blesses you as individuals. I hope and pray that as we make our way to the Mount of Ordinances, that we too will be able to personally say, "I love the Lord." The psalmist there speaks about how the very pains of hell and death and everything is around, it's a personal. And before you then get to Psalm 118, just before you get to Psalm 118, there's a small psalm, Psalm 117, smallest chapter in the Bible. And that ought to encourage every one of us here today, because that small psalm, two verses, speaks about how the blessings that are going to be spoken about are not just for the Jews, but for all the nations, for all the people. There's a promise there in Psalm, "Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations, praise him, all the people. His merciful kindness is great towards us. The truth of the Lord endureth. Praise the Lord." Speaking there about how the Lord will bless all the nations, not just the one nation, not just Israel. There's a promise to the Gentiles. Psalm 118. Psalm 118 brings us then to the capstone, the crowning, the very crowning psalm of them all. As they've made their way to Jerusalem, and as they're in Jerusalem, they now speak particularly of the Messiah, the Christ of God. Psalm 118 is undoubtedly a messianic psalm. It speaks about the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone, that the builders did despise. Christ himself refers that to himself. Peter refers it to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a messianic psalm. And when you read down the psalm, how you see Christ himself. The nations, as he makes his way towards the gates, towards Jerusalem. And the first half of the psalm is his coming and the children of Israel coming towards the temple. They come to the gate of the temple. And the cry is, "Open unto me the gates of righteousness." But they make their way there. And the Messiah, when he comes, when he makes his way there, he says, "All the nations compass me about." They compass me, verse 10, "They compass me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compass me about, yea, they compass me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them." Think of Jesus coming down from Galilee to the borders of Judea, and then coming to Jerusalem, towards Jerusalem, encompassed about with all the nations. The kings of the earth have gathered themselves together against the King of Glory. Death is facing him, but he shall not die but live. "I will not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is my salvation." And as he makes his way into Jerusalem, even the Jews acknowledge that he is the Messiah. This is the psalm they go to. "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he. Hosanna. Hallel. Thou art the one. Blessed is he that cometh." Verse 26. "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord." These are the words that they sing as Jesus enters into Jerusalem. My friend, a wonderful messianic psalm. Today we want to come and see what it says about that day. In that day which the Lord hath made. That's the day surely of Jesus Christ. That's the day when not just the Jew makes his way up to Jerusalem. And all these six psalms that were sung at the Passover, at Pentecost, at the Feast of Tabernacles, and at the Festival of Dedication and the New Moons, these are the psalms, particularly the three great festivals. These, not only would the Jew come up and sing them, but the day would come when Jesus Christ would come and he would sing a hymn. What hymn does he sing? I believe it's Psalm 118. "This is the day God made. In it we will joy triumphantly." It's the gospel day. My friend, do we rejoice when we come to God's house that we are living in that day? There are five things that I would like to bring before you that we are told in these few verses about that day. First of all, it is the day of salvation. Secondly, it is the day of prosperity. Thirdly, it is the day of blessing. Fourthly, it is a day that God draws near to his people. And fifthly, it is a day that is most certain. Let us look at these five points, and we won't spend a long time on them. It is the day of salvation. "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. Save thy people." This is the day of salvation. It was a day that the Lord's people should rejoice. It was the day that God would come and truly save his people. "Save now, I pray thee. Blessed is he that cometh to save his people." Jesus Christ came into this world to save his people. And how necessary it was that this day would come. How necessary it was that the day of salvation would appear, that Jesus Christ would come into this world to save his people from their sins. Everything in the temple that had been there from the day it was built until the day that Christ came, it was all preaching to the Old Testament church there is the need for a Savior. There is the need for salvation. There is the need for the shedding of blood. Come, Lord, save thy people. Send now and said, this is the day which the Lord hath made. Save now, I beseech thee. And you know, every time the Israelites sang that, they were beseeching the Lord for what? What were the Old Testament saints beseeching the Lord for? That he would send the Messiah. That he would send the Savior. They were seeing him afar off. They were seeing the one who would save Israel from afar. And they beseeched that the Lord would send the Savior. Come, we beseech thee, save us. And what a day of rejoicing when Christ Jesus came into this world. The very angels themselves, as he is conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary, as he is born into this world, the very angels themselves sing, hallelujah. Glory to God. Light has come upon this world. The glory of his people Israel, a light to lighten the Gentiles. The Savior of his people. Do you see Jesus Christ coming into Jerusalem? Do you behold him as the Savior of his people? As you come and sit at the Lord's table, as we may be enabled tomorrow, we are being reminded that we cannot save ourselves. Even as the Old Testament saint was reminded, you cannot save yourself. The law was given to them, not as a curse, but the law was given to them as a great blessing from God. To show them, not that they could save themselves by the law, but by the law no man could be saved. They needed one to come to save them. And as they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus came to Jerusalem at the Passover, he sat, and we are told he sang a hymn with his disciples. My friend, what better hymn than for the Lord himself to have these words upon his lips? This is the day God made. Let us rejoice in it. Save now, I pray thee. I beseech thee. Pray. I beseech thee. Save us. And if the Old Testament saint was beseeching the Lord to send the Savior, if the Old Testament saint was looking forward to the coming Messiah, do you rejoice as we meet here at a communion season that you can look back to the same Savior whom God has sent into this world to save his people from their sins? A communion season ought to be a time, first of all, as we are reminded on the Thursday, of humiliation and prayer. The Friday ought to be a time of reminding us of what a Christian really is. But the nearer you get to the Lord's table and the sacrament, the Saturday of our communion, it ought to be taking our eyes away from ourselves altogether. That we would raise our eyes to Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. The Saturday ought to prepare us for that. Because on the Lord's Day, we are going to have before us the visible symbols that we can touch, taste, feel, smell. All the senses exercised to remind us of what? That this is the day in which God sent his Savior. It's the gospel day. It's the gospel day. Save now, I pray thee. My friend, rejoice that you live in the day of salvation, that you live in the gospel day, that Jesus Christ has come, the Saviour has come. It's the day of salvation. Secondly, it's a day of prosperity. Not only did they see the day when God would save his people, but he says, they said, send now prosperity. Send now prosperity. How poor Israel had become by the time the Saviour came. Their religion was bankrupt. You had a man lying beside a pool, and he had to wait at that pool for someone to take him and put him into the pool whenever an angel came down. And he wasn't the only one that was lying beside that pool. What could the Jewish religion do for these people? Absolutely nothing. Nothing at all. There they were, lying in all their poverty. There he was, lying, having to depend on someone else to lift him. And every time the angel came down, he missed the boat. And he had to lie again. Jesus came. And in a moment of time, he cured him of that. A bankrupt religion. The cry was when they came to the temple, as they made their way towards the gate, and as they came to the gate, they would come to God and they would say, Lord, send us prosperity. And my friend, is it not true that when you have the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are rich beyond measure. That when Jesus Christ came into this world, he blessed the church with spiritual blessings. When he would arise, he would receive gifts for men, for such as did rebel. My friend, what gifts the Lord Jesus Christ has bestowed upon his church. What a gift God himself has given to this church. When God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. If you needed salvation, and if you needed all these things, Jesus Christ coming into this world, the Saviour, is the prosperity of the church. We were saying on Thursday that David numbered the people. What a sin it was for David to number the people, because the strength of David's army wasn't the number that was there. The strength was the Lord. We often do the same. We number the people. We find out how many people are here today, how many people are going to come to the service, and we do what David does. But our strength today is Jesus Christ in the midst of his people. And what prosperity he brought. Think of when he rose triumphant over the grave and over death and the grave, triumphing over all of our enemies. He then says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Because the world belongs to Jesus Christ. And if the world belongs to Jesus Christ, then my friend, the world belongs to his people, his church. And his church is to go out into all the world. Do you realize as you go to the Lord's table all the riches that you have by the coming of Jesus Christ? I will give unto them the spirit of comfort and the spirit of truth. And every blessing every spiritual need that they have, I will supply every one of them. And they will lack nothing. Send prosperity. Take away the mere shadows that were there in the Old Testament. Take away the shadows, fulfill them, and fulfill them by the coming of the Messiah. And give wonderful prosperity to thy people. When we sit at the Lord's table, it is the Lord's table. It's a table he has given and he has furnished for his people. My friend, do you spiritually prosper? When you come to God's house, do you spiritually prosper when you feed upon Jesus Christ? The world is bankrupt. Our nation is bankrupt. It's bankrupt politically, it's bankrupt spiritually. But his church is not. And my friend, you are not if you are trusting in Jesus Christ. Send, he says, prosperity to thy people. And do you pray that God would once again send prosperity to this land, to this island? Jesus Christ came into this world. He was born in poverty. He was born in the stable. He was only the carpenter's son. But my friend, he is the blessing of his people. Because he has raised up over death and the grave, exalted to the right hand of God, and in him we prosper. In him we have everything. It was a day of prosperity. But the third thing is, it was a day of blessing. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. He is the one that is spoken of here as being blessed. It's as though they're taking you back to the time when David, and many of these Israelites would read in the Old Testament, of how David came to Jerusalem. And think of David entering into Jerusalem as a king. And there he comes in. And they cry out, Saul has slain his thousands, David has 10,000s. Or when he returns back and the ark returns back, all the people are there and they see the king David entering into the city. We've spoken a lot about David's sin, but my friend, what a king David was, as God's anointed. What a king. But they were waiting for the one whom they would bless, and who would bless them. And as Jesus came into Jerusalem, not in royal robes, not in a royal carriage, but upon the back of the ass, entering into Jerusalem, and they cast their palm trees in front of him. Blessed be him that comes in the name of the Lord. My friend, is it not true that if you're in a court of law, you will give credence to those who are actually there, rather than those who are maybe told about it a month later? Do you believe the Jews that were actually there and saw him coming in and cried out, this is the Messiah? Or do you believe the Jews who 2,000 odd years later say, no, no, we know better? The Jews that were there said he claimed to be God. When he came into Jerusalem, they fulfilled the very prophecy of him. Blessed be him that cometh in the name of the Lord. They would bless him. My friend, when you sit at the Lord's table tomorrow, are you not emulating the words of Psalm 115 that we've already referred to? Not unto us, Lord, but unto thyself. Unto thy name take the glory. And here is Jesus Christ coming in, and we sit and we bless his name. The blessed Savior. And they were praying. for that blessing. They were praying for a blessing. My friend, do you pray for a blessing on the morrow? And the blessing they were praying for is that the day would come when they would see the one who would come, who would bless his people. And they would say, blessed is he that cometh. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Oh, my friend, what think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ? Do you have that high esteem of the Lord Jesus Christ that you say, blessed be him, whom the Lord has sent to his people to bless them? Blessed be the name of the Lord. You imagine that Jew going there, and they're emulating, they're just looking forward. They're just thinking of the day. Blessed be him that comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed when he comes. Blessed be the Messiah. We're looking for him. We're desiring him. Oh, that we would beseech thee that he would come and that he would truly bless his people. And when he comes unto his own receive him not. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. I am surrounded by those nations like bees around a pot. But I will not fear man, because the Lord is my trust. I will not fear what man can do to me. I shall not die but live, and I will declare the doings of the Lord. Blessed be him that cometh in the name of our God. It was a day of salvation, a day of prosperity, a day of blessing, and it was a day when God himself drew near to his people. It was as if darkness had come upon the face of, darkness was upon the face of this earth. But God himself would visit us out of his house, out of the house of the Lord, out of the house of God. God is the Lord. God is Jehovah. He would come and he would shed light upon us. He hath shown us light. I will praise thee. That was promised, wasn't it, that the Messiah would come. The scepter would not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. Until the one who came from God. The one who would descend from Shiloh, from Judah. Think of the words as well in Isaiah 35. These are lovely words that we have in Isaiah chapter 35. Just draw your attention to them, because they point forward to the coming. Say unto them that are of a fearful heart. And many in Israel were of a fearful heart. Be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and he will save you. God himself that was going to come. It was God himself. He is the Lord Jehovah. The eyes of the blind shall be open, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame shall leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. The wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, thirsty land, springs of water. My friend, is that not what the gospel does? And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, they shall not err therein. Fear not, thy God shall come unto thee. And where will he come to? the Lord, the God is Jehovah. Light will appear. And he will come to his own temple. And he will come before those gates. The Levites and those who exercised authority over the gates, he would come to them. And he would say, open unto me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter in. It is God manifest in the flesh. It is at the voice of Jesus Christ that the gates of glory are opened. The gate of righteousness is opened. A way, a highway of holiness is opened. A way whereby sinners may come into the presence of God himself. Heaven itself was opened when he ascended up into heaven. Heaven received him up. And one day he will return. Once again, heaven will be opened to receive all those who belong to him. Blessed is the Lord, he is brought, who has shined a light upon this way, this world. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. It's the gospel that shines light into the dark recesses of your heart. When Jesus Christ came to the temple, he came to a nation and a religion that was full of darkness, man-made. The Jewish religion is another religion altogether. Don't be fooled into thinking that the Jewish religion today has anything to do with the religion of the Bible. It's a false religion. It's a man-made religion. And Jesus came to it. But as he rose triumphant out of the grave, as he rose up on this world, light appeared. And he says, I am the light of the world. Light doth appear in this world. It's as though there's a darkness. And the light begins, as it does every day, it begins to rise. It begins to shine, and now the gospel shines throughout the world, and oh, that it would shine in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. It shines in the hearts of poor sinners. And poor sinners are able to come to those gates are open, and the veil of the temple is rent in twain. It is now empty. There is nothing behind that veil. You look in there before that they couldn't even look into. Only the high priest could go in. Now the veil is rent and you can pass it. You can see right in. And there's nothing there. It's empty. Because heaven itself has been opened. That these gates through which only the righteous can go through. Received him who is the righteousness of God. It's a day of salvation, a day of prosperity, a day of blessing. We're in a day when God has drawn near. And finally, it's a day that was most certain. You know, the child in Israel, as they came to Jerusalem, and very often in the Feast of Tabernacles, they would go around the temple once until the seventh day, and then they would go around at the seventh day, and then they would, hallelujah, they would stand before the gates. Blessed is he that will come, that will open these gates for us. Maybe, perhaps, we hope that someday he may do this. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice and cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God. I will praise thee. I will exalt thee. The work of Jesus Christ is not something that was doubtful. The covenant of grace was not something that was something like the first covenant with our first parents, which could be broken. This is a covenant that is most sure. That even King David himself could say, this is how a king ought to live, but my house has not been so with God, but he has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. This is all my salvation. This is all my desire. This is the only place where I can stand. And in Psalm 118, in the great Hallel, they come to the end and they're seeing there the King of Glory coming to these gates and standing before the gates. Is that something that might not happen? No. He says, thou art my God, and I will exalt thee. And then the whole congregation, let us sing with him. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Some of the psalm you see is the king coming before the gates and the whole congregation joining in with him. We are invited today to come to bind the sacrifice with cords. Even bind them to the horns of the altar. That was the sign. The sacrifice would be taken and bound to the horns of the altar. It was to be given in sacrifice. And there is one sacrifice that has come and has exalted God, and who has opened these gates into the very presence of the Shekinah glory, into heaven itself. Now, my friend, come with the sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving and bind your sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. Come and worship him. When you go to that table tomorrow, let it be that we would have the, if maybe not exactly on our lips, let it at least be on in our heart as we go to that table, the praise of God. Verse 29, take it with you. Take it with you as you go to that table. Take it with you as you sit at that table. Take it with you as you partake of the elements that speak of the Messiah who would come, who would bless the day of salvation, who would come with a day of prosperity, a day of blessing, a day when God himself would draw near, a day when he would bring his people with him through these gates. Take these words with you as you sit at God's table. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. One day, Christ will return. How do you know? Is that something that's uncertain? Is that something that is a perhaps? Is that something that is a maybe? Peter says the men neglect the fact that one day in Noah's day, they were warned that God would come. And they neglect and forget that the day came when God did come. Jesus Christ will return again to this world as certainly as he came the first time. Just as certain as this psalm spoke about him, I will exalt thee, I will come, and I will bless my people, it is just as certain that one day he will return again. My friend, rejoice. Yes, we are sinners. Yes, we are full of pride. Yes, we're not what we ought to be. But as a sinner, rejoice. Jesus Christ has come, and he has brought salvation. This is the day God made. We will rejoice, and we will be glad. Let us pray. Most gracious and ever blessed Lord, we praise thy name for thy goodness and thy mercy. We thank thee that thou art the God that is gracious, long-suffering, and slow to wrath. And with thee there is plenteous redemption that is ever found with thee. Lord, we pray that thou would bless us as we make our way, even over these few days, like the children of Israel of old, who made their way to Jerusalem, singing the praises of God, singing of thy goodness and thy mercy, even singing of how one day all the nations would sing and praise and magnify our God, singing of the Messiah who would come, of a day when God would bless his people. Lord, we thank thee that we are in the day of salvation. We thank thee that the Lord's Day, even the Sabbath day, is a day that reminds us of Jesus Christ and that he is risen from the dead, and that the Lord's Day is a day where we should rejoice. Call it the delight, the holy of the Lord. May it be that on the morrow as we meet, if we may be spared, that thou would bless us. Go before us now, undertake for us, pardon us all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us sing in Psalm 118. It's good to sing these Hallel Psalms at this time. Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day God made, in it we'll joy triumphantly. Save now, I pray thee, Lord, I pray. Send now prosperity. Blessed is he in God's great name that cometh us to save. We from the house which to the Lord pertains, you blessed have. God is the Lord who unto us hath made light to our eyes. Bind ye unto the altar's horns with cords the sacrifice. Thou art my God, I'll thee exalt. My God, I will thee praise. Give thanks to God, for he is good. His mercy lasts always. Psalm 118 from verse 24. This is the day God made.
intimations are as follows. The prayer meeting this evening is at 6:30, and the service is tomorrow at 11 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. After the evening service, there will be a short prayer meeting, and after that there will be a fellowship in the manse, to which all, especially the young folk, are warmly welcome. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper will be dispensed in the congregation during the morning service, and tokens will be given out to intending communicants after the benediction this morning. With intending communicants from our own congregation, please wait behind. And with intending communicants from other congregations, please obtain tokens from your own elders, or failing that, you can speak to one of the elders on duty at the door. With elders from other congregations, please wait behind to receive tokens for their own people. If there is anyone in the congregation who loves the Lord Jesus and who desires to profess faith in him publicly for the first time and sit at this table, then the session is open and we'll be more than glad to meet with them. These are all the intimations. God willing.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, three persons, one God, rest on and abide with you, now and forevermore.